independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Are we going to be men and women of our word? Yes. Are we going to keep the promises that we made?
Yes.
Or are we going to falter? No.
That's my favorite part. Are we going to do this? Yes! Are we the people that we say we are? Yes! Do you think we're going to mess up? It's possible. It's possible. I'm not going to lie to you. How you doing, everybody? Happy Thursday. This is the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. Well, they got through the first hurdle. And let's be honest about healthcare and Congress. You know, we got through the House. It's going to the Senate now. It's going to be kicked around. All right? Today was a, you know, for a lot of people, they're excited. You know, it's gone. This is it. We've lived with it for too long. It's finally going away. It's good. It's not. All right. It's not going away tomorrow. The Senate, you know, it's going to take a while. It's going to be down there for a long time. They're going to kick that thing around. They're going to talk about a lot of different stuff. There's going to be what you see is not what you're going to get. But Trump and everybody else are happy.
We suffered with Obamacare. I went through 2 years of campaigning, and I'm telling you, no matter where I went, people were suffering so badly with the ravages of Obamacare.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. It was interesting watching today, and I this is what I do for a living, but if you have any understanding of how politics works, and most people don't pay, not that they're stupid, they just don't pay. It's a fly by night thing, right? You see it, ooh, and then you move on with your life. We have a short attention span in this country. Nothing to get excited about. All right, it got through this hurdle, but what's going to happen in the Senate is it's going to be kicked around, it's going to be stomped on, it's going to be mashed, it's going to be turned into something that doesn't look like this. All right. Let's touch a bit about what's in here, what's not in here, how's it different. All right. Repeal of the subsidies. This is important because a lot of people live off those subsidies in the sense that they're able to pay what they can up front, knowing that you know, if it wasn't for subsidies, they're not going to get this. Now what they're going to do is you repeal this, but you're going to give people tax breaks, right, based on, you know, several different things. So you look at this, right? And you think, okay, well, tax breaks are good. Well, yeah, for people who have a lot of money and they can afford that, that's fine, right? But for the average person, it doesn't matter. If you can't afford it up front, doesn't matter what you get in the back end, right? Does not matter what you get in the back end. Provides refundable tax credit based on age and income instead of the subsidies. Push for bigger tax credits for older Americans is going to be in there. Repeal of the individual and employer mandates. Now, what this means, and this is something to pay attention to, the mandate, essentially, and this is important, the mandate side of things, so you're not going to be mandated to have insurance or get fined anymore. The difference is, though, here's the big difference. If you decide you need health care, right now it's 63 days is what they have in here of lapse in coverage. It'll probably be longer than that. Might be 100 days, might be a year. But when you finally decide to go get health care after a long lapse in coverage, what they're saying is insurers will have a chance to hit you with a 30% surcharge at that point in time. All right? Under Obamacare, companies were required to provide affordable insurance to staffers who work more than 30 hours, or they'd face a penalty if they didn't meet the criteria and their employees sought subsidies on the exchanges. These provisions take effect retroactively in 2016. That's going to be out of there. This is something, though, that was kind of the sticking point. It's about pre-existing. All right? So this will allow states to obtain waivers to let insurers charge consumers more if they have pre-existing conditions, meaning you can't say no to somebody right now and charge them something ridiculous if you do take them. It's got to be fair across the board. Pre-existing conditions is something that's going to be in there. This is something I think will be changed. Because what they're saying now is you can get a waiver and then you could say, well, you've got a pre-existing condition. And because you have a pre-existing condition, we're able to charge you this because you're a high risk. You're a high risk. All right. Creates a patient and state stability fund. Now, lawmakers have set aside $100 billion through 2026 for states to lower consumers and insurers' costs in a number of ways, among them offering financial assistance to high-risk patients, reducing the cost of providing coverage in the individual market, so promoting access through preventative services as well as dental, vision, etc. And then repeal cost-sharing subsidies to lower deductibles and copays. The big one is the Cadillac tax, getting rid of that, and loosen the age band to insurers as far as what they can charge an older person. Maybe, you know, obviously more expensive comparative to a younger person. It's going to be healthy, in theory. And then the revamping of Medicaid, and the way that would work looks like this. And again, I'm keeping it simple, stupid for everybody out there. The states would say, give us X amount of millions, billions, quadrillions of dollars, and then we will decide how we divvy that out. Or you say, give us X amount of dollars per person as far as Medicaid. So you have two choices, individual or a block grant. It's up to you how you take it. If, you know, if you say, give us, you know, $100 million, let's just say, they say, fine, there's $100 million, but if you spend it all in one place, there's no more. But if you have more left over, it's all yours. Knock yourself out. No government always has all left over or any left over. So we'll see. I mean, it is so, again, it's an early start, and the, you know, Ryan is excited. People are excited. I heard a lot of people today like, oh, what's this going to mean? But you've got the other end of things where you've got the people that are nervous because the likes of Nancy Pelosi are going out there and they're doing what the likes of Nancy Pelosi and the left side of the aisle is supposed to do, the same thing the right side of the aisle did, you know, 7.5 years ago, which is you go out, you hit it, you get the sound bite, and then you go back to your, you know, your people and you say, you got to get on your phone with your senators and you got to call and you got to say, this thing's ridiculous. You got to get rid of it. You got to scrap this thing altogether.
Thanks to the leadership of President Donald Trump, welcome to the beginning of the end of Obamacare.
Pence was talking about that today, and he said leadership of Trump. Trump worked the phones hard. He worked the phones extremely hard on this. He went over and he played politics, and he made sure that people knew, we're going to have to give some stuff up. What do you need so I can get your vote? What do you need so I can get your vote? How can I get your vote? Where is your vote? I need your vote. That's what it was about. He played politics. He learned. Pelosi, she's thrilled, I'm sure.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it away from the fog of the controversy.
That was Pelosi many, many years ago talking about the bill and the vote. Remember that? Pass it so we can see it. Ryan also talked about it. Why can't we see it? Let's debate this whole thing.
I don't think we should pass bills that we haven't read, that we don't know what they cost. And if you rush this thing through before anybody even knows what it is, that's not good democracy. That's not doing our work for our constituents.
That was the big, you know, knock on Obamacare, right? That we didn't really have a chance to read it. It was zipped through, rushed through in the middle of the night, the whole nine yards. This debate wasn't long. There was some. We knew about it far more than we did Obamacare before it took place. But, you know, it really wasn't one of those long, drawn-out processes. Now, it's going to take a long time in the Senate. And, again, what happened here today is a small snapshot. Because it's an excitement for a lot of people. I hear a lot of Republicans are excited about this. A lot of people, oh, good, we're getting rid of Obamacare. But you're not really. Not now. Not this way. Now, 6-8 weeks, we may say, wow, the Senate has a vote. And the Senate said, yeah, we're going to do this, this, and this. But it's going to be changed. By the time it's through all of the workings and the cutting this and the adding that, the taking away this and a little nip here and a little tuck there, by the time it may not resemble anything that happened today. Because that's politics. It may not resemble anything that happens at all today because the Democrats are going to play this in a way that they have played many things. And with the media out there and the tide has turned over the last several weeks and several months when it comes to Obamacare and how it has a favorable light for a lot of people out there, who figure the better the devil we do, the devil we don't, you get somebody like Pelosi out there doing what Pelosi does, talk, 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 soundbite, grandstand after grandstand. And guess what happens? People start to get scared. They start hearing from their people. That's one of the big things that people were upset about. Why didn't you debate this? Debate it some more. Read the bill some more. Go back to your constituents. Have some town halls. Listen to what they have to say before you voted on it. Because they didn't want to face that kind of friendly fire that has become non-friendly fire for Republicans when it comes to town halls.
Does Trump care lower health costs?
No.
Does health, Trump care provide better health care?
No.
Does Trump care protect seniors and families?
No.
Lots of yays and nays and nos and ohs. I was really impressed today. I mean, you know, they were really in unison. I thought that was really good. I was liking the way they were feeling. But what she does there, and she does it well, whether you like her or not, is her sound bites, like Chuck Schumer's and many others, they come hard, and what they do is they rile up a base. They rile up a base. And by the way, nobody wants health care in the governor. They don't want to touch it. It's kryptonite. It's poison. Like, get that away. That thing is cursed. Get it away from me. The Democrats broke it and they realized it and they saw it over the last 7.5 years. And now they're sitting there laughing, knowing it's going to be all yours. Elijah Cummings walked by Paul Ryan's office yesterday and there was a bunch of media people out there. And he said, hey, they've got enough votes. And people are like, oh, yeah, it looks like they got enough votes. But the good news is we're going to start taking back seats starting next year because they know. They know exactly what it's about. If you've got this, it's going to be ugly for you. It is. You know what that cost is. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Let me know what you feel. Let me know how you feel about this. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you pissed? Are you perplexed? Or is this a wait and see? I think it's a wait and see because I know politics, and politics looks like, hey, we got something done today, and now Senate's going to play with it. By the time you get it, and you're like, ugh, don't look anything like it. Text the program, 323-538-2423. Happy Thursday. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
A lot of people texting me. You can text me throughout the day. I want to hear from you. How do you feel about the Republicans doing what they did? They got something through. Is it a repeal and replace? No, it is a vote. This is a 9-inning game with a potential for extra innings. We just finished we finished the top of the third inning, right? There's a long way to go before this thing ever sees daylight and is implemented. And I think that's something that people have to take into effect, right? I think people think it's going to be overnight and that tomorrow something's going to change. It's not going to change. It's not. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not at the end of the year. Look how long it took for Obamacare to get into full effect. It's just now reaching where everybody's in this thing. Just now. So that's something to think about. So if you think tomorrow your premiums are going down and that, hey, this is it, you know, it's going to take a while. It's politics. It's D.C. It moves at the speed of syrup and it turns like a tugboat, you know, in quicksand. So that's something to take into effect. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Let's have a little fun because I've got a perfect urban word of the day on healthcare day, if you will.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
I love this one. This is perfect for today because it's the thing that they all scream about when it comes to healthcare. They all go, oh, apoplectic when they talk about it, right? He's apoplectic talking about healthcare and the repealing of ACA. Yes, it's only going to affect the little people because we're going to have wealth care. Instead of welfare, it's going to be wealth care. Excellent health care reserved exclusively for the wealthy. Wealth care. America, they say, has a wealth care system. That is your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Yep, cranium stretch. Very interesting. Like I said today, the whole thing is interesting. And as I try to tell people, when you look at healthcare, you've got to look at it from a point of view of somebody who's got, is a family of four, husband, wife, and, you know, two kids. And they're paying $1,200 a month, $1,500, $1,800, $2,000 a month. And maybe they're getting some subsidies, but chances are they're not. Or you've got to look at it in how it affects them. Because for many of us, it's the payment that just sucks our will to live. It's the $1,500 a month payment. It's the $1,000 a month. It's $900 a month payment. And it really hits at you. And that is the biggest thing. When I talk to people, it's the upfront premiums that eat them alive. They realize that they've got a big deductible, but 99% of them realize they're not going to get anywhere near their deductible, and they may use their health care once or twice a year, if that. But that premium every month that ends up being 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 24 grand a year, that right there kills people. People want manageable premiums and decent deductibles. It's not rocket science. It's common sense. It's amazing how people in Washington can take something that you would think, with all the bright minds we're supposed to have there, should be somewhat of an easy fix. And through regulations and just absolute insanity, they take something easy and manage to make it look hard and then break it. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Frat's in trouble. Wait to hear what happened to that Boston fan who did what he did the other night. And the cost of illegal immigration, the real cost, the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We'll touch more on healthcare later. There's still a lot to talk about. One of the things, I've been doing a lot. I do two shows. I do a show for Sacramento and I do the national show here. And we've been talking a lot on the Sac show about the high cost of illegal immigration. But it's a mysterious cost, because there's also benefits to illegal immigration, and there's been monies that they pay in to the tune here in California of about $3 billion a year. But what is taken out, they don't know. And that's the problem here. And as I've been doing a lot of this studying, it's really hard to find out. And this is the problem with a lot of things in politics and in life, is it's tough to find the truth. You know, the cost of illegal immigration is what? It's hard to get a dollar cost, because it's a guesstimation of what people bring in, what they don't. We know what readmittance and how much money they send back and how much is lost here for that. But what we don't know is, you know, we can't find a solid dollar figure. I've heard everything from $110 billion a year to $85 billion a year. And that's coming from two very conservative groups. From non-conservative groups, I've heard it's 55 to 60 billion, and I've heard it's right around 85 billion. So when I'm factoring in some of these things, it is so hard to find out what the truth is. We know illegal immigration's bad. We know we need to stop it. And again, we're not talking about the human beings themselves. We're talking about the act and the fact that politicians have allowed that act to continue for their benefit for decades, and it's now coming at the cost of us, the taxpayer. But I don't know what it is. I mean, realistically, you go through, and like everything, you know, whenever we talk about issues, I tell you there's a right side, a left side, in the middle there's usually the truth. It may skew to the right a little bit. It may skew to the left. Very rarely is it one-sided, always correct. And I think that's the way it is with illegal immigration. You can point out the benefits, that there's been net gains in certain areas, things of that nature. At the same time, you look and you're like, well, there's been net plus over here, but you only gave me half the story. Over here, there's been negatives, but there's three different nets over here. Net positive here, here, and here, all three different stories. Net negatives here, here, and three different stories. It's so hard to tell, just like how many people are actually here. That's another one of the things. You know, is it 8 million? Is it 12 million? Is it 15 million? Is it 11 million? We always hear that word, 11 million. Yeah, that number, it's 11 million. I don't know how many it is. Could be 12. Could be 7. Could be 18. We don't know. And that's a problem, that we don't know. And that's been the frustration, I think, all along. Hence the reason why we have to sort this out. You can't get a real understanding of what it is if you can't, like, throw marbles in a bucket and then do it for hours and tell somebody to count them and just keep counting them as you're pulling them out. You're never going to get to the end, and that's what's happening. If I keep putting more and more in there and I keep telling you to count, 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 more and more and more and more, and some are falling out of the bucket and you can't see where they're going, but you can't count, how are you going to get an accurate read on any of that? You can't. It's the same thing. The fact is we have a broken system allowed by the government over time. And I have been doing so much. You have no idea. Just looking through study after study from the Heritage Foundation, you know, from immigration rights groups to. And the one thing I've noticed is very few of them give another side of the story. Very, very few of them do. Most of them give you only the side that they want you to hear. It costs X, Y, and Z, or it saves you X, Y, and Z, and it's been a net positive here. They never factor in anything else. Well, they bring in $3 billion a year. Yeah, but they never tell you they lost you. They cost you $4 billion. So that's a minus $1 billion. Oh, well, yeah, but they bring in three. Well, yeah, but they are losing money. So, and that, but how can you be real about what it is when you don't know exactly what it is? That's why we need to look at our, you know, and I use the word leaders loosely here because the very few of them are leaders. How many of these people would you run through a wall for? Not many. I may push some of them through a wall, but I don't think I'd be running through a wall for most of these people. I really don't. I when I look at people who are great leaders, I want people that lead. I want people that have vision. I want people that are able to do what they say they're going to do and convey it in such a way that everybody understands, that everybody gets it, that they energize the people around them and make them better, get them to see that this is a great opportunity, no matter what it is, healthcare, immigration reform, any of those things, and how it's going to be great for all of us. I don't see any of that. All I see is a bunch of people that are in it for themselves. And it doesn't matter what it is. Again, immigration, any of this stuff. It's a tough road to hoe with these people. It really is. So an answer to the question I started earlier is I don't know what it costs. $55 billion to $110 billion a year. Somewhere inside of there lies the truth. And it could be $35 billion, could be $200 billion. But when you don't know the number that you're adding up, it's hard to get an accurate count. Speaking of immigration and issues, Baylor, first of all, Baylor's been in a lot of trouble lately. Sexual assault issues. The president's been fired. Their football coach was gone. There's been some real bad issues with the Baylor sports programs and the school itself. Well, now they, and in this day and age, Producer Phil, you would think that college kids know full well what it's like to be on a campus where there's a bunch of safe space, but a frat there did a Drinko de Mayo party.
I don't know why. You just drink on Cinco de Mayo anyway.
Yeah, but they called it Drinco de Mayo, and apparently people dressed as maids and construction workers at the Kappa Sigma party. Sombreros, ponchos, flower crowns. Ah, you know what? It's I don't, you know, I find the maid outfit that to be more of a racial thing. Yes, the ponchos and the sombreros, but you know what? I go down to Mexico, they sell me they sell me poncho. They sell me a sombrero, right? So come on. That I don't care about. But my thing is this. Why are you that big of an idiot? How are you that big of an idiot? In this day, in this age, in this time, to think to yourself that I've got a great idea. I'm going to do a Drinco de Mayo thing. We'll have everybody dress up hilariously in the thing that they think best represents the Mexican culture. And in doing so, we'll then splash it all over Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, not thinking for a second that somebody's going to take offense to this. Remember, it only takes one. It only takes one person to see something, then to say something, and in seeing something and saying something, cause it to become crazy. They're in trouble, of course. You're going to be suspended. One partygoer said, or a person who heard about it said it was the most ignorant thing they'd ever seen. Another person responded on Twitter saying, party's still going. Feel free to join the house cleaners. And by the way, Baylor is a Christian university. Oh, my God. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're an idiot. You're an idiot. Look, Cinco de Mayo. And tomorrow night is Friday. It's Cinco de Mayo. I live in California. You know what happens in California on Cinco de Mayo? It's a party. It's a massive party. White people, black people, brown people, green people, orange people, everybody, translucent people, they party on Cinco de Mayo. They drink Coronas and, you know, they party. Hey, my cerveza. They party. So let's not pretend that people don't party and it's a Mexican-themed party. I mean, it's America. Give us a reason to party and we'll party, for God's sakes. But it is funny, right? The way that this is looked upon in a Christian university, thinking it was funny to show up as a maid. What a bunch of dumbasses. What an absolute bunch of dumbasses. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We got more issues in the air. Another family, this time they decided to take amongst themselves to film the incident. And there is, yes, loneliness. We know when the peak of loneliness hits, but there's also some good things there. The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Kid tested. Mother approved.
No, I paid for the seat. I bought the seat. You can look and see. It's my son.
That's the Scheer family, Southern California family, flying from Hawaii back to Southern California. And yes, another incident on an airplane. Another one on an airplane. They said they were tried and refused to argue with airline staff. They were threatened to be thrown in jail. They said, you have to give up your seat or you're going to go to jail. Your wife's going to go to jail and they'll take your kids from you. First and foremost, what in God's name? Who are you to say they'll take your kids from you? I'm serious. This is insane. This is absolutely what they did is they bought a seat, right? And they bought another seat, and they're going to put the car seat in the seat, put the baby in the seat. They paid for the seat. They wanted the child to stay in the mother's lap the entire flight.
You need to know. You need to do what's right. I bought the seat, and you need to just leave us alone.
That's the way Brian feels about it. I bought the damn seat. You leave us alone. He originally bought the seat for his 18-year-old son, Mason, but decided to send him home on an earlier flight so he could use the seat for his younger child, Grayson. And the airline staff tells them they need a seat because the flight is overbooked and the original passenger whose name was on the seat isn't using it. One airline employee tells them that under FAA regulations, children under two are not supposed to have their own seat at all and supposed to sit in their parents' lap for the duration. We're at this point where everything that you do on a flight now, people are going to film it, right? You're going to film it on there because you're hoping, right? We're hoping it's time. And we're all probably going to take a flight here in the next couple months or so because what are we doing? We're heading towards summer. And what is summer? Travel time. Taking your kids places. And now, Producer Phil, if you're running an airline right now, what are you telling your people knowing now that people are probably looking for a payday?
It's very hard to figure out what the right thing to do is in these situations.
Yeah, because you're confused. You're hearing all kinds of information. You're like, okay, federal regulations are this. Are a contract of carriage, meaning the thing, when you buy the ticket, this is the contract here, right? This is what this is. But public perception and hurting my stock price and costing us in a court of law says this. So what do we do?
He won't sleep unless he's in his car seat. So otherwise he'd be sitting in my wife's lap crawling all over the place and it's not safe.
Man, we tried so hard. I talked to Anthony today, Phil. I tried so hard. What did you do, Anthony? Did you do anything? Is there anything that you did? Like, just don't wear your seatbelt until they get angry at you. Do something, right? Because here's the thing. You don't even have to be in the right anymore to get something. You can be completely in the wrong, and they're still going to give you money to go away. It's perfect. It's perfect. So be thinking about that. Yeah?
So, you know, all the airlines got together and said, you know, they're going to try to not overbook as much anymore. And in response to this, American Airlines is solving their overbooking problem by adding more seats to their 737s and reducing the pitch in between seats.
So essentially, less legroom, more sardine.
Correct.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. That does. That absolutely sounds like fun. I got a cool thing about the age when you hit certain things, and I want to do it. It's a little bit longer, and I want to be able to have time with it because I think it's really interesting. One thing I hate about articles, and I think most of you will agree, we live in this, you know, again, short attention span, right? Gone. And sometimes I hate to read articles because I think it's never ending. It's like you could have said all of this in two paragraphs, and I'm on paragraph 95. And it's no longer an article, it's a book. It's a novel now. But one thing I found interesting is this article in Runner's World about the two-hour marathon, right? And Nike has done this. They put together this program, and they've been looking at it for a couple years. And it is essentially, they're doing all they can to see if Breaking 2, this project, can actually get done. Somebody's come close. Somebody has come close. And I think it was a 2-hour and 2-minute marathon in 2003. That was Kemeto. And that was it. That is the time that's the best time in history for a marathon. 26.2 miles. It's the best time in history. But you think, well, that shouldn't be that hard, right, to shave off that. You realize that is, you have no idea how massive that is to shave that. We're talking minutes and seconds off of something. And so Nike brought in the runners they feel have the best chance of doing this, and they have put them through massive, extensive medical testing. all kinds of testing. And here's the thing. I think it'll get done. And much like the, somebody said you couldn't run a four-minute mile, and then somebody ran a four-minute mile, and then it fell. Boom, 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 boom. It was once it fell once, it fell a bunch of times. But the kind of stuff, I mean, they're measuring out exactly to do this, what you have to do, the kind of shoes you have to have. They're spending millions of dollars to get the shoes correct. They're finding out, okay, how much water you can drink, when you can drink it, at the speed that you can drink it, because they're trying to shave off literally seconds every single mile. It's like when you watch auto racing and those guys try to shave seconds off, taking the tires and all that stuff off. It'd be crazy. Somebody's going to do it. It's just weird. Like if you cross at like 159, like 50, and then your heart explodes. And we're like, I'm never trying that again. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program always, 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.